This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Hello, everyone. This is Basma Farhat of the People Speak Radio. Here we believe when the people speak, they make a difference. You can listen to the People Speak live on BBS Radio every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night at 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, or by going to our site at www.thepeoplespeakradio.net. There you can also listen live to our past shows on our iPod Ready section, and if you have a Nokia phone, you can also listen via satellite. Just go to the website for details. I'm real thrilled to have with us tonight Jackie Saloum. Jackie's a young Palestinian-American artist whose work was featured at the 205 Sundance Film Festival and now again in the 208 Sundance Film Festival. Jackie was born in the Dearborn, Michigan area. She grew up in a very traditional Palestinian home. And in 2001, Jackie moved to New York City to pursue her interest in art as a graduate student. Her earlier work depicted conflict in Latin America. However, when the Israeli military raided Jenin in April 2002, Jackie was galvanized into a new focus on her Palestinian roots. Hi, Jackie. Welcome to the People Speak Radio Show.
Hi, Basma. Thanks for having
me. It's great. Oh, it's my pleasure. I was really thrilled. Jackie is a local girl, and we actually met this summer in Dearborn at an annual convention of the Federation of Ramallah Palestine, which I happen to be a part of. And it, I saw your film, Hip Hop Slingshot, that weekend, and it was just amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us, and thank you for the film. I think it's very much needed.
Thank you. Yes, it's the first film on the Palestinian hip-hop scene, so I think it's something new and exciting for people when they hear about it. And
it was a long time in coming, wasn't it, Jackie? I guess the kids even that were the artists, I'm calling them kids, but the artists that were in the film itself had turned down a number of offers, including Al Jazeera, in order to allow you to make the film.
Yeah, it was a collaborative project, really. It started back in 2003. Me and my cousin Rumzi went out there to start the film. We went to actually visit our family that lives in the West Bank, and I thought, hey, let's make a film on the Palestinian hip-hop scene. I thought it would be so easy to do this. So we went out, we borrowed cameras, and we started filming, and I had a friend out here at NYU who knew one of the rappers, and because she was from Palestine, and she gave me his number, and she said, call him up. So I called up Mahmoud Shalabi from Makkah, and I was like, hey, Mahmoud, you know, I introduced myself, and I said, I'm thinking about making a film on the hip-hop scene there, and he's like, yeah, we need a film, come on out. So in 2003, during the summer, we went out there, and we started, and we met all the other rappers in the scene, and we became really good friends, and it took about 4.5 years to make. And within that time, we became really good friends. And later on, they got the offers you were talking about came like later on after 3 years of filming had gone past. And so they were, you know, pretty dedicated to the film and very excited about it. And I had left them, you know, cameras. I had left cameras with a couple of the groups, and they were also documenting their lives. And then they would send me like a box of tapes, you know, at the end of the year, and so it was a, you know, and they also started their own record label. Dem started their own record label called 48 Records, and Dem is the first Palestinian hip hop group, they're from Lydd, and so they were really excited about that, and they're actually just mixing the Slingshot soundtrack right now, and it's going to be released within the next few weeks. So it will be their first album out from under their label.
Oh, how wonderful. That's great. They're a fantastic group. And for those of you that don't know, Dem actually means blood. And, you know, a lot of people will read it as dam, but it is dem. So for those that are interested, you know, during the summer when you presented your film at the convention center, Jackie, I had my two grandsons with me, and I really wanted them to see this. And my youngest grandson was looking at it, and he literally started to cry. As a matter of fact, and he said, when you were showing certain scenes in Janine and everything, he said, "Is that World War II?"
Wow.
And I said, "No." I said, "Honey, that is the life of Palestinians every day. That's how Palestinians live." And you know what he said to me, Jackie? He said, "I want to leave here. I don't want to see this. This is too sad."
Aww.
And
well, we don't want to get the impression that it's all sad.
Well,
there are
no,
some parts,
isn't.
Of course, that are, yes,
it isn't.
Of course.
And I took him out for a few minutes out of the room, and I explained to him that I thought it was important for him to see the rest because I wanted him to see that it was not all sad, that you could do something. And I thought that was the beauty of this film, is that no matter what, here this incredible genre has taken over, and you've presented it in such a light so that there's hope again, that even in despair, that there is hope for these young kids. And I think this pop scene is just incredible. I'm congratulations. You've done a wonderful job with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually why, that's one of the reasons I wanted to make the film, too. Once I went over there and saw what they were doing with their communities and how they were affecting the youth around them and really making an impact in their own society, it was like really, I was so impressed and so amazed. And you know, usually when I go back to Palestine, it's very depressing with the building of the wall. You know, you don't really see much, you know, much positive things happening over there. But when I started hanging out with these rappers and seeing their day-to-day life and, you know, seeing what they're doing within the community and the workshops they do and teaching the kids about their history and their culture through hip-hop, it gave me hope. You know, I enjoyed going to Palestine and I didn't leave depressed. I left feeling really good and excited about what was happening there. So,
now, one of the things, Jackie, that I found was how fascinating, and I thought this was just great, was that hip-hop in Palestine is appreciated by all ages. I mean, traditionally, as Arabs, we have a great deal of appreciation for storytelling. And do you see what I'm seeing in that? A lot of the older generation have found this another form of storytelling.
Oh yeah, that's actually one of my favorite things about going to hip hop shows in Palestine. You know, here if you go to hip hop shows, usually it's you know, ages from like 13 to like, you know, 30 or something like that. But in Palestine, it's amazing. You'll see like little kids to grandparents sitting there, and they're they're sitting in the front row and they're clapping and they bring their family. It's a total family event there, and it's really inspiring. And they really appreciate it too. When you talk to them, they're like, they see how effective this form of music is and how it's taken on another form from their days, and they see how quickly it spreads across the world because hip hop is such a popular form of music. That was actually something I really enjoyed seeing, is like all the grandparents
really
and parents there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. I love that. Now, Jackie, you had never intended on going into film, did you?
No, I went to school for art, mixed media. I was doing photography, collage. I was repackaging toys, that sort of thing. And my focus was on challenging the stereotypes of Arabs in the media, because for me as an Arab American growing up in this country, I was really affected by the way the media represents us. And, you know, at one point when I was, like, in middle school, I hated being an Arab because everything I saw was negative on TV. There were no role models. And, you know, even though my parents would say to me, like, you need to be proud of who you are, and, you know, I would, you know, peer pressure was, you know, more effective in high school, I mean, junior high. And, you know, for a while I'd tell my mom, don't roll your R's when my friends come over. I don't want them to know we're Arab. And, but soon, of course, that changed.
And it's all fallen the role of the eyes.
Yeah. So soon that all changed, and I went the complete opposite way, and I figured, you know, if we're not happy with what we're seeing, we need to make our own media, because there's not many Arabs, like, in Hollywood and on television. There are out there, but not enough. And whenever I give talks to, like, places that have a large Arab audience, I always say, okay, parents, listen up. Stop telling your kids to be engineers and pharmacists. If you're complaining about the way we're represented in the media, you should encourage your kids to get into the media, to become filmmakers, to become journalists, whatever it is. And that's how change is going to come, because I think that's one of the ways change will come. Because I think, you know, most of the people who live in this country, the only way they learn about the Middle East is from television, because a lot of people don't travel outside the U.S., the majority of people. So how do they learn? They learn from TV and movies. And, you know, Dr. Jack Shaheen wrote a book called Real Bad Arabs, where he documents over 1,000 films from, I think, the beginning of film, like back in the late 1800s, to, this is pre-9/11, he found out of 1,000 films, there were only like 12 positive depictions, and there were 15 even-handed, and the rest were all negative. So, you know, you'll see the effect of, you see the effect of that on the population here. If you're just constantly seeing negative, 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 it becomes reality. Like, that's what these people are. So they're terrorists, they're barbarians, you know. A lot of times when I'm giving talks in schools, and I ask the kids sometimes, like, okay, how many of you know an Arab? You know, and if I'm in a class that no one knows one, you know, I'll say, well, I'm an Arab. And, well, first I'll ask them what they think an Arab looks like. And they'll say, you know, dark beard, dark, you know. And I'll say, when I say the word Middle East, what do you think of? A lot of them will say, you know, terrorism, war. It's always negative. So
turbans. I like turbans. I always get turbans.
Turbans, yeah. Yeah, so
we all
anyway.
Wear turbans.
Yeah, so it's amazing, you know, how effective the media is. So I think
it is,
as Arabs,
it is,
we have a responsibility to, you know, either get out there and create our own or support artists and filmmakers who are doing it.
Well, you know, Jackie, this isn't your first trip to Sundance, and your first film was a short film called Planet of the Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
And in this, and I happened to catch it on the Internet today, for those of you it's really just, you know, fascinating. I don't, you know, I almost want to, and why is it that nobody ever, we didn't notice this years ago when we were growing up, Jackie?
Notice the media?
And notice the slant, the twisted slant that Arabs were getting in all of these films. I mean, we just assumed that, honestly, I grew up in the United States, and as an American, an Arab American in this country, I think I had a twisted image of what was really going on back there due to this kind of film genre.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very subversive. I mean, when you put these kind of things in pop culture, it's just eaten up like candy. You know, it's in a familiar form in television, film, and you know, you just take it in, you just digest it as, like, you know, if you see it over and over, it becomes, you don't really notice it anymore, and it becomes like subconscious. Like when I showed Planet of the Arabs at Sundance, I had people come up to me afterwards, and this one woman came up to me. She said, you know, she was really emotional. She said, "I'm so sorry. I feel like I have to apologize to you." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Because, you know, I have two sons, and we watch these kinds of films all the time, and you know, I never think about telling them that this is not the way Arabs are, and I've one of those people who, you know, just, you know, didn't even notice that it was going on. It's just sort of like in your subconscious, you know. Like there's a scene from Back to the Future that seems to be one of the most effective. People say, God, you know, I didn't even realize those were Arabs, because it's so common that the Arab is the enemy, is the terrorist, that you don't even notice it anymore.
And I'm very concerned about how that started, why it has been allowed to continue, and what is currently being done about it. You know, we're going to take a break. There's so many more questions that I'd like to talk to you, ask you, and some areas that I really want to get into, your art and many other things. We'll be taking a short break right now. We have with us Jackie Saloom. filmmakers of Sundance, second time around, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes, folks. So hang on to your seats.
We used to write letters to each other a lot, and it was intimidating to talk to him sometimes because he just seemed so isolated by himself.
She started talking about how she wishes that her life was over and she wishes that she was never born.
So I knew he had depression, but I didn't know it was that far.
Said something to me about killing himself.
Tell somebody, tell an adult, counselor, parent, whatever.
It's a hard situation because you do risk making that person very angry and losing their friendship.
It would have been horrible for me if she never talked to me again, but I'd live with it because I know she'd be alive.
Definitely worth getting help, even if you think you're going to lose a friendship, because it's better to lose the friendship than the actual friend.
Suicide is one of the leading causes of death among teens. For more information, contact the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, 888-333-AFSP, or online at afsp.org.
This land is your land.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact the world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me. One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the city wall, by the relief of the fast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The People Speak with our guest tonight, Jackie Saloom. Jackie is of Sundance Film Festival fame twice in a row. Well, not in a row, 205 and 208. And we have been discussing her movie, Hip Hop Slingshot. Just an incredible. Oh, I'm sorry. Slingshot Hip Hop. And I should know that. I'm looking right at it here. And I have to apologize for the frog that has died in my throat today. I don't know why. I guess this time of year that my allergies really get full force. Jackie, tell us about Minute Happy, which is like, I think anybody that knows anything has heard Minute Happy. It's a wonderful, wonderful song.
Yeah, Minute Happy was written and performed by the group Dem, which we were talking about, the first Palestinian hip hop group that came out of Lid. So they're Palestinians that live inside Israel. Lid is a ghetto like 10 miles outside Tel Aviv, and so one thing people don't know that aren't familiar with Palestinians that live inside Israel, I think most people are familiar with the stories of Palestinians that live in Gaza and the West Bank, but the Palestinians that live in Israel, you know, growing up, they don't learn their history. Their school books are Zionist school books, so they learn the history of Zionism. So unless if their parents aren't teaching them at home where they come from, they grow up kind of not even knowing where they're totally disconnected from their roots. And so when Dem was growing up, when they got into their teens, Tamer Nafar, who is one of the members of the group who actually started the whole thing, he wasn't really into hip hop. He thought it was like too blinged out and didn't really connect to it. And one day he was watching TV and saw a video by Tupac Shakur, and he thought he was looking at Lid, and he didn't understand English at that time, but he could connect with the images. And so he looked him up on the internet, and he found, you know, a lot of his songs and translated the lyrics into Arabic and found a lot of connection between the way they exist there, Palestinians living in Israel, and also connecting to and the connection to the way blacks are treated here in America and have been in the past. And so he thought, hey, I should try this form of music. So he started writing his own lyrics. And in the beginning, it was very just kind of like, you know, not so heavy, because growing up there, like if you're too political, you just know that you're not going to make it too far living in an Israeli society. And then, so, I mean, him and his brother Suhail is also part of the group, and their neighbor Mahmoud Shreri. So the three of them would write songs, and they talk about the issues, you know, about the situation in Lid and growing up in a ghetto and the drug problem, dealers, violence within the community, and so that's what they'd write about, but that was very limited to that. And then the Intifada happened, and that really woke them up. They had there were uprisings that happened inside Israel too, and there were 13 Palestinians that were killed that have Israeli IDs, and so that really woke them up. They're like, oh wait, you know, we can be shot and killed like this, and so that was kind of like the slap across the face. So they started looking into their history and like relearning their where they come from and their culture, and so when after the Intifada hit, they wrote this song called Minat Habi, which means who's the terrorist, and the lyrics are very strong, and it's the first song I heard, actually. That's when I was listening to public radio in New York. Udi Aloni, who was a Israeli artist, had put them in a film, and he shot this video for Minar Habi, and he played it on the radio, and I was like, oh my God, Palestinian hip hop, amazing! I mean, how often do you get to hear the youth speak? How often do you hear Palestinians speak, let alone the youth? And it was just so interesting to hear what they had to say and their angst and the way they expressed themselves. And it was a really good song, and so that's actually what inspired me to make the film. Minar Habi is sort of like the anthem of the youth there. Like if you go into the West Bank, Gaza, if you talk to, you know, if you just go up to someone and say, do you like Palestinian hip hop? They might not know that term. They'll be like, what's Palestinian, you know, what's hip hop? And then you say Minar Habi, they're like, oh yeah, Minar Habi, and they all know the lyrics. And and it's amazing the way it connected all across Palestine.
Not just in Palestine, it tore up the internet. I mean, it was everywhere. I couldn't tell you how many emails that I got with the link to the song. It was just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was actually downloaded like 1 million times.
And, oh, wow.
Like in the first year or something like that. So, yeah. And they get when they're invited out, you know, to Europe, America, whatever, people are always like, Minar Habi, they always want to hear that song. Poor guys are so, they've been performing it now for like 6-7 years. They're so tired of it, but, you know.
Well, you know, though, it speaks. It's like, you know, and every time a new assault on Palestine comes up, every time a new attack on Gaza, every time there's a new casualty, you know, well, that song speaks. Who is the terrorist? Who are the true terrorists? You know, this is, you took your film on tour. I know that shortly after July you were going back to Gaza and Jenin. And if I'm not mistaken, you were also taking it to Lebanon. How was the film received there?
Well, I wasn't able to get into Gaza. It was very difficult.
Okay.
That time, so but we showed it all over the West Bank. We showed it 13 times throughout the West Bank and also inside Israel. So it was really amazing. Ramallah, Jenin. Ramallah was an amazing screening. About 1,000 people came out, and then Dem and other rappers from the film came out right after the last line. The film dropped. They came out from the back of the theater and started rapping, and the crowd just went crazy for them. They have like they have the biggest fan base, I think, in Ramallah. Their shows like sell out there, and they scalp tickets now. It's pretty crazy. But so that was a really fun screening, just hearing the way the people responded during the screening. Jenin was really great too. It was their first, and afterwards Dem performed too, and it was their first time performing in Jenin, in the Jenin camp. And the kids were so excited about them. They're, at the end, they were screaming, like, in Arabic, "Wahed entlati, dem hayati," which means 1, 2, 3, dem is our lives. and it was really cute. So they had a great time.
Can I ask you, did you show it in Israel at all?
We showed it at Tel Aviv University. So it was mostly Palestinian. I mean, there's Palestinians that go to Tel Aviv University, but and it was organized by a Palestinian group. So, but there were Israelis that came to that screening, and they were, I mean, so far everything's been positive. And I also, Tamer showed the film to a group of Israeli educators and journalists and that sort of thing, writers. And one of the reactions, he told me that someone had said that this it needs to be on TV and Israeli TV and all Israelis should see it. And someone else said that mm-hmm. it was the first time they really actually saw what Gaza's like. So
yeah.
it's been so far positive.
Well,
but we haven't shown it in any mainstream Israeli outlets yet. But we're trying to get it on TV there too.
Well, this brings us to one of our first text questions. Mike in California asks, do you think any of the Palestinian rappers have a chance at being on mainstream media like MTV? And the second part of the question is there any danger in the work that you do?
Well, the answer to the first question is actually Dem has been featured like on, I think they've been on, well, they've been on CNN. And they've been on a lot of, like, mainstream news channels. And I think, I'm not sure, BET showed, they came actually to Sundance and covered the film and interviewed Dem. And so it's been on that. But MTV, I don't know if they might have been on MTV Europe. But, MTV America is hard to get in. I mean, especially, and it's more about, I think, the fact that they don't rap in English, because
mm-hmm.
MTV barely shows anything that's not in English. So,
although I have to admit, you know, a lot of the rap sometimes I don't understand anyway. It may as well be in a foreign language.
Yeah, it's sometimes a little too fast to understand, but yeah, but hopefully, I mean, I think there's a potential for them to get on. Because I know when people come see them at the shows here in New York, they sell out almost, they've sold out every show here in New York, and it's not just Arabs that are going to see them, they're, non-Arabs and who don't understand Arabic, but yet they're so into it, and, Dem does a good job in explaining their songs in between, they speak very good English, and they're very dynamic on stage, and so I think that there's a potential, sure.
Great. For our listeners that are interested in asking our guest a question, you can call us toll-free internationally at 877-489-6350 or toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 888-228-4494. Angela in Louisiana has a question for you, Jackie, and she says, Jackie, in the making of your film, did Dem and Palestinian rappers and other Palestinian performing artists in the world attempt to network with each other to support and reinforce each other?
Yeah, and actually that's what the film is focused on, actually. It's a story about Palestinian rappers who live in these areas that are, because of the Israeli occupation, are basically blocked off from each other. They're not allowed to travel into the different areas. So they're very disconnected from each other, and the story in Slingshot Hip Hop is about how hip hop reconnects them, and the growth of hip hop and how it started with like groups like Dem and other groups like Arabiyat and MWR that started in Israel, and how it spread really quickly to like the West Bank and then Gaza. I was lucky enough to be there in 2004 for the very first hip-hop show in Gaza. It was pretty amazing. 500 people came out, and they were like you said before, all ages. They didn't know what they were about to see, and out come these groups and rapping, and a lot of people were shocked, which you'll see in the film, like their faces. The reactions were really funny. But yeah, I mean, they were able to use the Internet. The Internet was a big connecting tool for them. So
that's really
they
wonderful.
Do collaborate and they do connect with each other and communicate that way.
Well, maybe they'll all eventually get a group together and go on tour. We are speaking tonight with Jackie Saloom, filmmaker extraordinaire. Her film Slingshot Hip Hop was in the Sundance Film Festival this year, 2008. This is the second movie that she's had out. Now, Dem is an Israeli rapper act.
I wouldn't say they're Israeli, no. They're a Palestinian group that live in Israel.
That live in Israel but are Israeli citizens. Do they get a lot of flack as far as being Palestinian, speaking out in the forms that they do, which Rap does, it tells a story, and telling the story of what is happening there?
Do they get slack from the Israelis?
Yes.
The Israeli government. well, like, for example, the song Minot Habi, when that came out, there were some people that were calling to, like, have them thrown out of the country. People were saying that they should have their albums burned, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Others said, oh, it's the anthem for Hamas and things like that. But...
So I didn't know Hamas had gone into hip hop.
Yeah, me neither. They have that sort of thing. They have sometimes, you know, they're censored a lot. They did they collaborated with this Israeli group on a song once, and when it was played on Israeli radio, they cut out like Tamar's part. They cut out the Palestinian part. So. Mm. But, you know, they're able, I don't think Israel sees them as such a big threat to, you know, clamp down on them. So they pretty much, like, go out and perform and do what they want without much. There's been shows where the Israeli police have come and, like, unplugged their sound system, didn't want them to perform, and then they continued without the sound. So that sort of thing.
Very interesting. That's a shame. Harassment still exists. Let me ask you, do they have any trouble going back and forth from the West Bank to Israel?
Yeah, well, they're not allowed to go into West Bank. They're not allowed. Palestinians that hold Israeli IDs are not allowed into West Bank or Gaza, and vice versa. Palestinians with West Bank or Gaza IDs are not allowed into, you know, each other's area. So, when Dem goes to the West Bank to perform, it's illegal under Israeli law. If the Israelis want to give them a hard time, if they catch them, you can be imprisoned, fined, that sort of thing. So,
wow. Very interesting. As per usual, nothing foreign to our ears there as Palestinians.
Right.
Janice in Florida wants to know, where can you order a video of your film, and when will it be showing at a theater?
Well, we're showing at a lot of film festivals. You can go online to slingshothiphop.com and you can see the upcoming screenings. There's a lot happening. I don't know about Florida yet, but I'm sure we'll get down there. As for the DVD, we're working on getting that out in the next few months. We're going to self-distribute, so we're working on that right now.
And can you tell us, I have your website here, it's jackiesaloom.org, if I'm not mistaken, Jackie?
No, that's, well, my art, my website that has my art on it is jsaloom.org.
Oh, okay.
And the film's website, where you can get the information on screenings, is slingshothiphop.com. And actually, in October, we're showing the film at a lot of Arab film festivals in San Francisco, L.A., D.C., where else? Showing in Toronto. So there's a whole tour going on, and Dem is going to be here. They're coming in, and they're going to be taking question answer after the films and performing. So that'll be up on the website. So they're going to be in L.A. and San Francisco, D.C. They have a show in Chicago on the 19th.
And nothing in Dearborn?
Michigan. Yes, they are coming. No, they are coming.
Okay.
I'm like going through the thing. Actually, they're performing at the Arab American Museum in Dearborn on the 23rd for the Global Thursdays. So it's
on
actually the first
of
time.
October.
Sorry.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. October 23rd, they'll be there. And it's their first time in Michigan. We're taking them through the Midwest this time. They haven't been to the Midwest, so we're taking them through Michigan and Chicago, Minneapolis, Madison. So it should be fun.
Wonderful. I'll be looking forward to being there. I hope I'll be in town. Lance in Oregon, I was wondering if music has or is bridging a gap of understanding between Israeli and Palestinian youth. Have you heard of Israelis who have become fans of any of the Palestinian rappers?
Yeah, I mean, there are. They do have Israeli fans. Dem has collaborated because they rhyme in Hebrew too. They sometimes collaborate with some Israeli rappers, and so they have a small fan base there. It's not so big. I mean, the majority, of course, is Palestinian, but there's some Israelis that are supportive of Palestine and Palestinians and come out to the show.
That's wonderful.
With them. But it's,
now I want to talk to you about something that I thought was just wonderful. What an innovative idea. You've got your gumball machine project, Jackie. Can you tell us about that? I absolutely love this. Folks, you got to hear this.
Oh, that was back in when I was over at NYU, when I was making art. The way I was thinking when I was going through this phase, and I was like, well, you know, I wish when I was growing up, I had more information about things that were going on in the world because, you know, our history books are very limited in schools and that sort of thing. So I thought, you know, what would be the most fun way to learn about things? I'm like, well, you know, gumball machines are cool. You put that's one thing I always loved as a kid. Whenever I'd go to the grocery store with my parents, I'd always want a quarter so I could go get something out. And so I thought, what if it was filled with something educational and but fun? You know, so that's what sort of inspired the idea. And so I made a couple different ones. One is called Palestinian Refugees, Collect All 5 Million. So you put in 50 cents and you get a capsule, and it has a little kid in it with a keffiyeh on, and there's a little note from him inside that says what his name is, what town he's originally from. What I did was I went through and tried to find, I found all the cities and towns that have been erased after 1948. And so I put like a town that had existed back then and what Israeli city exists there now. So it'd be a little note from one of the refugee kids. So that's one gumball machine. And the other one was, I think it was like revolutionary thinkers and doers. So I put a bunch of people in there that they're not part of our history books, but I think are important to learn about. And, you know, you can either get a ringed sticker or a magnet. And the same thing, there's a little note, a two-line note about, you know, about them in there. And I figured, you know, if they're interested, they can, in knowing more about this person, if they're going to, like, put the sticker on or put on the ring, someone might ask them, and maybe they'll, you know, Google it and find out more. And if they already know who these people are, then they have a little token, you know, something fun they can collect. So things like that.
Well,
and
I'll tell
it was
you,
funny, when I had it in my studio for Open Studios at NYU, I had the gumball machines out, and, you know, people were coming in and putting quarters in, taking their capsules. And this one girl came back, and she had a roll of quarters, and she just kept feeding the machine and kept getting this. I'm like, what are you doing? And then, cause, you know, each one of those capsules I made by hand, I'm like, oh, my God, I need this to last a few more days. And she's like, I collect rings. I was like, oh, she's like, I'm trying to get all the rings. And I was like, do you know who these people are? And she was like, no, but I just like that they're rings. So, you know, I mean, a lot of Americans, we are obsessed with collecting things and, you know, consumerism.
Well, maybe maybe eventually they will collect all of the Palestinian refugees. I tell you, when I saw that, you know, and for those of you that are not aware, under the State of Israel lies over 400 Palestinian towns and villages that have been buried. So the bones of Palestine are rattling all over. I just thought that was a very interesting and innovative way of putting that message out. I think I'd like to see one of those gumball machines in every restaurant and gas station across the country.
maybe
you could mass
market
them.
It was always my goal to get it out there in the public, but I just never had. It was always, you know, I started the film right after I graduated, so I never had time to focus on making gumball machines and putting them out. But that was actually one of the things I wanted to do.
Isn't that something? You know, some of the youth in the film had not actually outed themselves as rappers to their families. This film happened, how did that go over?
Well, it was most. It was all the rappers in the film had great support from their families. There was one of the artists, Abir. Her family was very. Her parents were supportive at first when she told them, like, I want to sing R&B and I want to collaborate with these rappers. And she did a lot of the choruses with, you know, Dem and other groups like Weh. And then she had some cousins that she wasn't even close to. Tell her basically she needs to stop because it's not a place, stage is not a place for a woman, and so they had threatened her and her family, and so her parents were worried and told her, you know, you should like not do it for now, but she kept doing it. She kept recording. She'd sneak out and she'd go to shows.
Sounds like a Palestinian woman.
So, but her family saw the film when I showed it out there, and they really liked it. So,
now Abir was the young woman that sang "When Aramallah" at the convention.
Yeah, she was at the convention. Yep,
just breathtaking. What a wonderful young lady she was. She was just amazing. Is she going to be on tour as well?
Yeah, she's going to be at some of the stops. We're going to be at the Boston Palestine Film Festival October 4th. Slingshot's opening the festival there, and she's going to be there for question and answer. She will also be in D.C. Showing at Arabian Sites on October 26th, and she'll be there along with Dem. And Mohammed Al-Farrah from PR, who's from Gaza, is actually here in the States now. We were able to get him out.
Oh, is he on tour?
He'll be at some of the stops. I think we're going to be in Chicago on the 14th, somewhere there. We'll have it up on the site soon. But, so he'll be available too.
That'd be wonderful. Sandra in Ohio, Jackie, wants to know, who were Jackie's inspirations to be a filmmaker, or who are her favorite filmmakers?
My favorite filmmakers? Well, I love Anne-Marie Jasser. She just had a film in Cannes called The Salt of the Sea. I think her work's really amazing. I like Hani Abou Assed. Paradise Now is really great, and some of his other films. There was one film that really inspired me when I was making Slingshot. Was a film called Dig by Andy Timonor. She had followed these musicians in the U.S. for like 7 years and collected over 2,000 hours of footage. So she put together this documentary. I think she edited for like 5 years, and I thought it was a great documentary, and it's actually what inspired me to have Suhail narrate the film. Suhail is one of the rappers from Dem, because I didn't really know how when I was making the film. I didn't know how I was going to like tie the stories together, and then I saw her film. I was like, yeah, that's, you know, I think that would be the best choice, is have a voice from like the rapper's voice tell their own story, because she had one of the musicians narrate her film. So that was one of them. But also, like, it was inspirational because it took me 4.5 years to make the film, and I had about nowhere near 2,000, but I had 700 hours of footage. So
Wow.
When I was like, okay, she could do it, I can keep working on this. So
Do you think this genre holds such a such power for Palestinians, Jackie? And I think it really does.
Well, it's the lyrics come from the heart, and I think, yeah, the mix with they take this form of music and they inject it with their own culture, their own sounds, and it's this beautiful mix, and it's something new. And I think when you hear these young men and women get up there and they're talking about their lives and what's happening, I think it's you know, an amazing creative way of expression. And because it's to a beat and it rhymes, you know, it's appealing, and people like hip hop, so it spreads. It's spreading all over, and it's been spreading all over. But with the internet, you know, they've been able to collaborate with a lot of artists all over the world, and you know, it's pretty amazing. Like when the emails they get from other people who have similar struggles, who live, you know, in Africa and in the States and Latin America,
you know, they say, you know, we're in solidarity with you, and this is our struggle, and so they learn about each other's struggles too through their music. So I think it's really important.
Well, you know, earlier you had made a statement. You said Intifada happened. I thought that was just a remarkable way of saying it. When you went to Jenin in Palestine, and I know much of the rubble and devastation still is there, how did you feel as a Palestinian seeing such destruction?
Of course, you know, it's always hard and depressing, and you know, it's frustrating. But I think because I was surrounded by these amazing artists, they give you hope and strength to, like, you know, be inspired to create and not be, you know, driven down. So and that's what they're doing to the youth there too. They've inspired a whole, like, there's a whole movement now. You go into when the hip hop scenes first started, there wasn't much going on anywhere else except, like, maybe in Lydd and Akka, Nazareth, there are a few groups. But now you go into any place in Palestine, like in the refugee camps, there's tons of groups now making their own music and putting it out on the internet, and it's really amazing. And it's what's really great about this too is that, you know, like for the rappers that live in Gaza, they they could die from boredom alone, because you know you're basically living in an open air prison. You know, most of the people don't have money to just go out and do things. There's not places for the youth to hang out. So you just get bored. You can't travel. You can't leave Gaza. So hip hop sort of, like, as one of the rappers in the film says, Kanan, who is from the group PR, he says, you know, hip hop gave me oxygen. So, you know, gave them something to do, and they put all their energy into it. So I saw that as one of the most positive things from this form of music too, is that where before they would just sit around, smoke arguile, or, you know, lay there and be bored, now they were driven to, like, create music, and, you know, with connection to the internet, able to get it up online and communicate with others. And so I thought that was one of the more important things about hip-hop movement out there.
You know, I believe it was in the movie Paradise Now that one of the things that was the most profound was this issue of boredom. And I think that through this boredom, something was bound to emerge. I'm glad that it's emerging in the form of hip-hop for these kids, because it really, really gives them an opportunity to express themselves in areas. One question is being asked by Susan from Georgia. Have any of the Palestinians, and I think this is a very interesting question, in light of, and it, I think it shows, and I don't mean this in any denigrating way, Susan, but it shows the lack of understanding of what's happening in the Palestinian territories and how little control Palestinians have over their life, have over their economy, have over their ability to rise above anything. Her question is, has any of the Palestinian rappers become rich through their music and raised their and their family's quality of living?
Well, you know, like most artists in the world, like, you don't have to live in Palestine. It's a struggle to live as an artist and as a musician. You don't really, you know, usually you make your work, you put it out there because you want people to hear it, and very rarely do you get paid for it. You know, Dem's been around now for almost 10 years, and, you know, in the beginning they were just, like, performing wherever they could perform, and, you know, and a lot of times when you're performing in Palestine, you're not going to get paid. People can't afford to go to shows there. So a lot of times they're performing for free. So they haven't been able to make a living. If anything, it's put their families more in debt, because they have to pay for making these songs. Like, when they go to a studio, you know, it's a struggle for them to even record. Like, for example, PR in Gaza, it's not only a struggle for them to have enough funds to record a song, but it's for a while when I started the film back in when I was there in 2004, there was still it was before the pullout, there was still a checkpoint in the middle of Gaza, and you couldn't get from the north to the south sometimes if the Israelis decide to close it. So for a lot of times, Mohammed Al-Farra lives in Khan Yunis, and the other two guys from the group live in Gaza City, and it only takes 15 minutes to get there, but there's a checkpoint that you have to sit at, and you don't know how long you're going to sit at. And a lot of times, you know, Mohammed would be on his way to Gaza to record a song with them, and he'd be stuck at the border for at the checkpoint for 7 hours, and then they would be like, okay, we're not opening, and he'd have to go back home. Sometimes he'd miss shows, or his family, I remember, couldn't come to a show once because they couldn't get through the checkpoint. So, so in the beginning, it was really hard for him that way, and also they don't have, you know, they don't have producers out there with equipment to make beats, so. You know, they're always struggling to find beats and that sort of thing. So a lot of times they download off the internet. But for example, Dem also, they took 5 years to make their album, and it was because of the lack of resources and funds. You know, every song they'd have to save up for months before they could afford to record it and mix it and that sort of thing. So, you know, Dem is much. They're very successful now. They're touring throughout Europe and the States, and so they're doing a little better now. But they're still, you know, they're still living in Lid, and still struggling as artists. So, and I always say, like when I give talks or when I show the film, I always say, you know, they still need support. So if there's producers out there who are making beats, you know, send they want to donate them to the rappers. That's really great. And you know, if people want to donate money to them so they can record more, that's always needed. And a lot of their, like, PR's music was made that way from people donating music to them. So, I mean, donating music and money.
Well, on a personal note, Jackie, what have you got planned for the future?
Future. Well, Slingshot's still going on. Probably go on for at least another year touring and that sort of thing. But since this film took me so long to make, I kind of want to take a break from making another film and do something like under 3 minutes. So maybe I'll do like music videos or something like that. I'd like to make music videos for the Middle East, actually, for Middle East.
Oh, that would be wonderful. How fun. Are they really that simple to make a three-minute music video? I would think that there was a lot of complexity.
No, but they won't take 4.5 years. It'll definitely not take 4.5 years. So, so I think I'll
and then
go
being
that
on
route.
Tour like you are with the groups, that's going to be a lot of work and fun at the same time. It's going to be a very busy schedule. I wish you luck. I hear there's a family wedding.
Yes, my brother's getting married.
And he's getting married to friends, the daughter of friends of mine. I happen to be attending another family wedding on the same weekend, and I wish I was with you guys.
Oh, that's too bad.
But my blessings to the groom and bride. That's what happens in this community. You know how many weddings we have a year. So it just sometimes happens to fall at the same. All my friends are all divided right now, and they're wondering, okay, what are we going to do now? but I'm really happy for them. And, of course, I will talk to your brother's future in-laws and congratulate them after. Are you going to be in the wedding?
No, I'm not in it. I will be. I was touring, so I couldn't be part of the whole making of for the wedding. So I will, my sister's in the wedding. I will be there in attendance, of course.
Well,
so,
have fun.
But there was one more thing
I'm...
I wanted to. I want
sure,
one more thing
go right
I wanted
ahead.
To add that I always, it always need to slip in at the end. If you want to connect with the artists in the film, you can go to their MySpace. They all have MySpace accounts. So if you go to the Slingshot website, if you go to links, you'll see the links to all their MySpace accounts, and if you're on Facebook, they're all on Facebook, and you can communicate with them on there. You can hear their music on their MySpace. You can get their album. Dem has their album for sale, and pretty soon the soundtrack will be out for the film, and we'll have the DVD up, and so.
Well, that's
keep checking.
Wonderful.
Join the mailing list, and you'll get all the info.
For anybody interested in this type of music, which is just a wonderful form of music, and they're a great group of kids. The move. I can't wait for the DVD to be coming out because I think that's important. I really think it's wonderful that you have that out there. People need to see this. People will hear this. I think people will start to identify with this deeply. And thank
it's
you very much
used
for being
in high school. So
yes, yeah, that's what I wonderful, just absolutely wonderful.
So thank you very much for having me.
It was our pleasure. Tomorrow night's guest, Elliot Adams, president of the Veterans of Peace, will guest with the People Speak. And next week on Tuesday, I will be hosting Kathy Nijimy, who was one of the nuns on Whoopi Goldberg's Sister Act. She's not only an actress, but she's also a human rights activist. And Kathy is also Arabic, so it's, you know, we've got a lot of Arabs running around the show these days. Kathy, again, Jackie, it was a pleasure having you on the show. Good luck with your project. Good luck with your future projects. I hope to see you when you're in town at the Arab American Museum. And I will give my blessings to your family and have a wonderful wedding this weekend.
Thank you so much.
You have a good evening. Good night, folks. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow night.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the sea wall by the relief of death, I saw my people and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.